I've said on so many occasions, and I really believe it, we're here for a reason today. There is a purpose in your being here. You didn't pull in the driveway here and park in the parking lot for no reason. This is God's plan for you for December 7th, 2014. So that date we had here, we also have a date with destiny. We have a date when we're going to meet our Maker. And I want to tell you, I'm going to do something that's not in your bulletin. But everybody lets me do something now and then that's not in your bulletin. What we're going to do at the end of the service is we're going to sing "Just As I Am." And we're going to give anyone an opportunity to say, "Lord, what I've been doing, I don't care how small it is, I want to stop doing it." That's repentance. That's all it is. I want to confess what I've done wrong. And you don't have to lay out everything. I couldn't. And then we accept Jesus' forgiveness. So we're going to do that at the end of the service. I'm just letting you know. John the Baptist, and it was referenced today by Sandy and Mark. He talks about there's a coming messenger announcing to everyone to prepare the way. It was John the Baptist. And a lot of people thought John the Baptist was the Messiah, but no, he wasn't. And so when John comes, walking through the streets, and he had to be an unsightly figure from the way that he's described in the Bible. And I often wonder and think about how could somebody think this is the Savior, when they see John the Baptist, and some of the way he's described. You think there's got to be somebody more perfect, something more perfect. And there was. But when we think back and look at that, things that run through our mind, if I was there, let me encourage you to be here on Christmas Eve. Because we're going to have a great service. But we're going to talk a little bit about what was my perspective, or maybe Lynn's perspective, or Phil's perspective. If I was looking down at that scene, what would I think versus what Mary and Joseph saw? So plan on it. 7 o'clock, you'll only be here an hour, and it's a good time to just stop and wait for the 25th. Wait for Hank to open his Christmas gifts. Wait for Eli to open his Christmas gifts. That's an opportunity to just stop and wait. I mentioned earlier, you're not here by accident. We are excited that you're here. God has a purpose for your life. Rick Warren wrote a book, and I'm probably not going to do too much of my message today. Rick Warren wrote a book called A Purpose-Driven Life. And we all have a purpose. When we look at, things that go on, and at Christmas time, and you get that invitation to a party, or somebody sends something out on Facebook. Don't you just love Facebook? Great way to communicate. I know Brenda does, because she doesn't like email. But when you look at that, you get that invitation, you open it up and you look at it, and the first thing you do after you open that invitation up is you stop and you look at it and you think, okay, let me look at my calendar to see what I've got going on. I went to a Christmas party last night. It was the only thing on my calendar. So it wasn't a big deal. But as they start coming in, and as we start, getting those invitations and things pile up, we need to look at our calendars and see what we've got. We've got to save the date. What normally happens is I get anxious about what's happening. I think, there's something that, I'm going to do. There's a place I'm going to go. Maybe do I have to buy a gift? I don't want to buy a gift. I don't want to buy a gift for people I buy gifts for, because I don't like those people. But I feel like I got to buy a gift at Christmas time. Are you there? But what do we do? We buy the gift. What it says in Mark 1, and I wish I couldn't, 1 through 8, it says, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written, in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John was baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those in Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. There's a weirdo. And he preached, saying, But after people saw him and they saw what he ate, here's what he preached. "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit." So as we stop and we think and we look at this Advent season, we all know we have a date with destiny. And there's going to be a point in our lives where we meet our Creator. It's going to happen. We've been promised that. Take a look at this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. I mean, that's what he would have done. If that's what we needed, if we needed more knowledge, he could have sent us more Einsteins. But he didn't do it. That's not what we needed. If our greatest need had been technology, he could have sent us more Gregs. Just one enough? But he could have sent us an IT person that would have been able to solve all those issues. And I can use one. But we didn't need technology. If our greatest need had been money, he could have sent us an economist. But you know what our greatest need was? Forgiveness. And our greatest need was forgiveness, so what did he do? He sent us a Savior. He sent us someone that would forgive us, someone that would let us live a life of peace. So as John talks about preparing that way, and we see in Malachi 3:1 says, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Also in Isaiah 43, and Sandy also I think referred to Isaiah 40 today, as a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of God." What Jesus brought to our world was peace. What sin has destroyed is that peace. And we can look around the world today, and we can look around our nation, and it is utter chaos. Now, I'm not a pessimist, I'm not a doomsdayer, and I'm not out digging a hole in the ground, filling it full of pork and beans. But the bottom line is, we live in a broken world. And when Jesus came to bring that peace, what has happened is, it seems like everything has come along to destroy that peace and destroy that comfort that he has given us. Last week we talked about what it takes to wait. We talked about Simeon. We talked about Anna, and they were waiting. They had a reason to wait. They had a purpose to wait. We talked about during that wait, we have choices. Are we going to actively wait? Are we going to actively work for the kingdom? Or are we going to sit around and let the kingdom, come to us? And waiting for that kingdom might be nothing more than picking up the phone and calling someone that you haven't seen for a while. Picking up the phone and calling a neighbor and saying, "Hey, we got this really good-looking minister. And he has just a beautiful wife. Oh, she's not here. That, you know, I mean, we're great worship. So when Susan told her, when Misty was here in the 3+1 and Misty walked, she told me, she said, there's something special about the Spirit here. If we don't have a good-looking, well, since we don't have a good-looking minister, that Spirit is what's going to draw people. And that's what we're sharing with people to bring peace. God promised the Messiah. He promised the Messiah was going to come. And John gives clear instruction in what we were just sharing about when he comes into in what Mark was writing about, when he says, repent, prepare your hearts. Advent is a wonderful time of the year to prepare your heart to live in peace for the rest of the year. We don't have to live in turmoil. Now, we all get caught up in, I got to buy that last Christmas gift. And I love Jim, what he said last week, is I found that last box of lights. You know, and that's a classic comment. When, you know, when you look at, that's what, you know, what we think Christmas is all about. But Christmas is peace. And that's what Jesus brought, and that's what Jesus wanted to bring into our lives. There's a guy named William Stringfellow I saw this year, saw this week as I was reading. He says, he emphasizes that the Advent season is not just an individual examination of oneself, but also an examination of ourselves in community. That's all of us together looking at that. A corporate wait for the kingdom of God to come amongst us. He says, we are anticipating what the remainder of the year will bring us and looking excitedly at the next. So as we prepare for Advent and go through Advent, we look at, man, what do I have to look forward to today? What do I get the sun's out? Hey, that's something to look forward to. What? Oh, that is your birthday. Happy birthday. It is that anticipation of something to come, but we've got to save our date with destiny, or we're not going to have that peace. We're going to be out here like everybody else who missed Black Friday, didn't get to buy one of those 3 55-inch TVs at Walmart for $150. I like that too. But that's what it's going to be. What's corporate and individual repentance look like? If we're supposed to wait with repentant hearts, what does it look like for us today when we stop and think about it? I forgot to run by there. So what does that really look at? Well, we mentioned this more sermon material from Sunday school class this morning, but Hosea is the perfect example of individual repentance and corporate repentance. Hosea was commanded by God to marry a woman that was going to be unfaithful to him. And when I say commanded, that means he didn't have a choice. He did it. And every time that she was unfaithful to him, he forgave her before she sought repentance. That's individual repentance. And I love what somebody said this morning. It was Greg, gave an illustration, and he said, I forgave that person. Now, there are consequences, not to Greg. There would be consequences to Greg if he didn't. But there are consequences down the road for other people when they do things wrong and they harm you. My responsibility is to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes before they even ask if we have to. Well, what does corporate, you know, repentance look like? Well, it looked like the nation of Israel. How many times did they rebel against God? How many times did they wander in, well, not how many times, how long did they wander in the desert? 120 years? How long a journey was that? I can't remember. But it wasn't a 120-year journey to get there. So what we need to do as a body is look at, where have we missed it? So that's one of the reasons that we ask you, tell us what you like about your church. Because we're going to take those, we're going to take a look at those, and we're going to see where we might be missing it. Because we're not perfect. Not at all. But our heart has to be where we strive to be perfect and where we want to go and what we want to do. So that's what it looks like for us. What does it, you know, when we're sitting in a waiting room waiting for that? Forgiveness is when family members disagree with how treatment should go, how things should be handled, and we can't seem to come to some resolution. It's resolving disagreements. When the future is uncertain, how do we wait? Do we wait as 1 Peter 5:7 says? Cast your care on Him. Why? Because He cares for us. It's not just throw it out there and just think nothing's going to happen. But He's telling us to do that. Repeatedly the Bible says, do not fear, but be in peace. So as a congregation, as a nation, we need to really stop and look at, a few things. So our challenge today is repent, lay aside any idol getting in the way of our relationship with God. Now, I don't know what it could be, and I don't need to know. But if there's anything affecting that relationship with God, we need to stop and take a look and say, Lord, I repent. You may be a Christian, but there's something that's crept into your life. Does that mean you're not saved? No. But does that mean that relationship, that perfect relationship between us and our God is hindered? That's what it means. And that's what we need to stop and really take care of. So, stop. Look at your life. Look inwardly. Because that's a challenge sometimes at Christmas time, is to stop. Put on the brakes and just say, whoa, wait a minute. This is the time I should be at rest. This is the time I should be at peace. You know, we're all saving the day to the 25th because we're all looking forward to, if you got grandkids, that's a big thing. If you got kids, that's great. They're going to have, the time of their life, tearing through packages that aren't theirs, and some of them, just wait till Savannah starts doing that. You're going to have fun. What a great baby, man. She hasn't done a thing all worship. I heard a couple amens, but that was about it. The other thing that we need to do is we need to take a deep breath, let it out, and slowly find peace that fills your Christmas. Stop. Stop the music. Stop the glitter. Stop the wrapping. Stop the shopping. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But I'm saying find a place that you can sit back, you can take a deep breath, you can relax and say, this is the first Christmas season, maybe forever, that I can stop, that I can wait, not get anxious, not get in a hurry, not forget God. We're going to sing a couple verses or whatever, of Just As I Am. It's page 367?
357.
357. My memory's not as good as it used to be. 357. If you'd like to stand, feel free to stand. If you'd like to sit, feel free to sit. If there's anything on your heart that is interfering with that relationship with Jesus Christ, come on down. Let's talk about it.
If you have bitterness, if you have a need for forgiveness, someone's done something to you that you just can't let go, these little things the enemy grabs hold, and he just eats you up. You end up suffering more than the person that offended you, because many times they don't even know that they offended you. So there's many, many things in our life, just as I am.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bidding come to
receive.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each soul.
Tuesday morning, God woke me up and said, do this. Folks, I don't know why. I don't know for who. But as sure as I'm standing here today, that's what he said to me. I make no apologies. We're going to sing one more verse, and then we're gonna have the offering.
Verse 6. Just as